So good to be here, and you know, I've known Pastor Carl, as he said, for decades, and there were so many times I've said in every service, I want to say to you, when I was at these major moments in my life, some good, some not good, and I would turn around and he would be there, and to me, that's the hallmark of a real friend, huh? When they're there to rejoice with you, and they're there to hold you when you need to be held. So thank you, Carl, for being such a part of my life all these years. Amen. And you know, I was thinking, obviously you all know this, he is a man of courage to drive from Albuquerque to El Paso in a 69 Volkswagen, even if it was new, is an incredible act of bravery. But to wait till it's 15 years old, come on, give Pastor a hand clap for being a man of courage. Amen. I wouldn't have done that. Amen. Hey, so good to be here. It's always an honor. I always treasure coming and speaking in your great church and to be a part of what God is doing here. And so proud of you and proud of everything you're doing and how you're just continue to lead. And it's just such a beautiful thing. Thank you for that. I'm going to be talking to you today a part of a book that I wrote. It's called Burn the White Flag. And it is a book that is kind of the story of my life, how I moved from A to B to C to D and wherever I am on the alphabet now. Things that I've learned along the way and about fighting the good fight and not giving in to as Paul wrote in Hebrews, not giving in to being wearied and tired and fainting in your mind, and how to overcome discouragement. And I deal a lot with that in the book. And one of the things that got me going on it was that, you know, we're all tempted to quit. How many of you say amen to that, right? Pastor Barnett said, it's all right to think about quitting, just don't quit. And so we're all tempted to quit on a variety of things in life. And I've been tempted to quit. There have been times I wanted just to get in my car and just drive. See you later, alligator, right? So anyway, I'm not going to go there. I've learned some things, and I want to share these things with you. And I think it's very appropriate, and what we have been in and what we are slowly coming out of right now, you got a choice in life. You know, sometimes life knocks you down. Sometimes life doesn't play along. Come on, give me a good amen, right? It just doesn't play along. And you got a choice, and that choice is you're either going to get up and you're going to fight on and you're going to go forward, or you're going to go crawl over in the corner, curl up in the fetal position, suck your thumb, and wave your white flag. I'm sorry to be so blunt with you, but I only have 31 minutes, so there you are. All right? So this book will happen. I'm going to share with you a part of this. A great thing that I learned that I pray today will be a blessing to you. So you ready to rock and roll? Yeah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I honor you and thank you today for every person that's here. I thank you for what you're doing in them and what you want to do and are doing through them. And Lord, we open our hearts up today and we say to you, please, Lord, speak to us. We came to church today to worship you and honor you and see people and be encouraged and encourage other people. But Lord, we came to learn. Speak to us. We are smart enough to know we are not smart enough. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, and everyone that agreed said, amen. Amen. I want to open up today an amazing verse of Scripture. I continue to read this verse, and I continue to be amazed by it. Every time I've read it this weekend, I'm amazed by it. So let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 17 in the Message Bible. I think they're going to put it up on the screens here with you, and you can read along with me. But look what it says. It says, if death got the upper hand through one man's wrongdoing. Now, we all know that was Adam, right? So through Adam's wrongdoing, death came into the human life, into the human experience. And death brought with it fear and oppression and depression and anger and resentment and abuse and all the stuff that goes with death, right? We all understand that. So death got the upper hand, and because death got the upper hand, then lives get hurt, lives get damaged, things happen, right? They happen to good people. Sometimes really crummy things happen to good people. They happen to bad people, okay? They happen. So he talks about that. He says, so if death got the upper hand through one man's wrongdoing, can you imagine? So God takes the opposite track, right? He says, can you imagine, watch this, the breathtaking recovery life makes. Don't you love that? The breathtaking recovery. So God says, yes, I know death affects you, but I want you to know that I want to affect you. And the effect that I'm going to bring to your life is what God calls breathtaking recovery. Listen to it. Breathtaking recovery. I think all of us need some breathtaking recovery to happen in our lives. Those moments in your life where God brings recovery and your response is, oh my God, oh my God. Huh? Those oh my God moments, that breathtaking recovery. That doesn't mean kind of recovery, it's breathtaking recovery. But it's not through being God. Watch what else he continues to say. He said, this breath, can you imagine? So he wants you to imagine, he wants you to get an inner image in your heart of your life experiencing breathtaking recovery. Breathtaking. And then he continues, sovereign life. In those who grasp with both hands, so I'm going to have to make an effort. You're going to have to make an effort, right? I'm not going to be able to just sit up at the house and eat Hershey bars and wait for God to just... Amen? And Gabriel just to show up and go, here you go, you cute little thing, you. Right? It's going to have to be, I'm going to have to grasp it. I'm going to have to imagine. I'm going to have to make an effort. I'm going to have to believe in it. I'm going to have to see myself with it. I'm going to have to burn the white flag of surrender, right? And grab this breathtaking recovery with both hands. And then he continues, and watch what else he says. He said, who grasps with both hands this wildly extravagant life gift. And he says, this grand setting everything right. Can you believe these words? I mean, honestly, only God can talk in this way. Only God can speak about this kind of thing happening. Only God can say, you're going to have recovery, but it's going to be breathtaking. Only God can say, it's going to be wildly extravagant, and it's going to set everything right. Now some, nobody in this service, the 9 o'clock service, we had a real problem with this, right? But in this service, no, these are the hardcore Navy SEALs of the body of Christ, right? And you know what I told them about you. Okay, so anyway, all right? So, I mean, this is so incredible. A lot of people, when you read this, people are like intimidated by it. Well, you shouldn't be, right? Your Father wants to bring this into your life. But you've got to see it as a possibility. Do you believe it's possible? I said, do you believe it's possible that you, your family, your life, that you could experience breathtaking, wildly extravagant, setting everything right recovery? Amen? This is the way I am. If he said it, I'm going for it. Now, I don't make it sound too simplistic, but if he said it, I'm going for it. Now, if he doesn't mean it, then don't say it. Because I don't have time or sense enough to say, well, God said it, but he didn't mean it. Here. But over here, Jesus loves me, this I know. Now, he meant that. But over here, he said it. Same God that said John 3:16 said Romans 5, but I believe he meant John 3:16, but maybe he didn't mean, well, no, I don't have sense for that. If you don't mean it, don't say it. But if you say it, I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to go for it. And I have gone for it. God wants you to experience breathtaking recovery. Breathtaking recovery. He wants it to be released into your world, into your life. and he wants you to imagine it happening to you. Right? The way things happen is imagination sparks creativity. Creativity brings reality. So once you imagine it, then it sparks the creation of it in your life that brings about the reality of it. This pulpit at one time was just a guy's imagination. I actually know the guy that manufactures these pulpits. He belongs to Hillsong Church in Sydney, Australia. He watched his pastor, Brian, one week get up and struggle with a pulpit, and he said, there's got to be a quicker, easier, better way, and he imagined it, created it, and brought a new reality. And every church you go to practically in the world today uses this pulpit. Isn't that astounding? Right? So God says, I want you to imagine this. But sadly, many believers don't and have not opened their hearts and their minds up to these incredible promises. But I want you to be a part of those who did. So is it possible? Can you receive this from the Lord? Is it possible that your life, how many of you are ready for some breathtaking recovery? Amen? I am. Is it possible for you to recover, to have things set right? And not just kind of, but wildly extravagant? Amen. And it all comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, right? He's the one that brings it to our lives. Now, let me give you a definition, all right, of the word recovery. Now, I'm really big on definitions, okay? I'm going to give you a lot of them in the time we have today because I'm really big on it. And I'm going to tell you why I'm big on it, right? When I was in the eighth grade, I was really struggling in school. I thought school was dumb. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was a waste of time. I didn't know why I had to go. And my dad, who was like John Wayne, all right? And my dad was a part of that generation that if you needed warm fuzzies from your dad, you weren't going to get it. Some of you had that same kind of dad, right? It's just they were that old school kind of guy, and they were there. They protected you. They provided for you. They didn't speak to you very much, and you could go years, and they never really say anything to you. And every once in a while, they drop a nugget on you, right? So one day, I bring my report card home, and he's looking at them. So I always started off with the best ones, and the classes would get progressively worse as you went through the cards. And so he gets down to the last one, and it was really bad, and he looks at it, and I was sitting there at the tables in the eighth grade. My dad looks at me, and he just looks at me, and he goes, what is this? I said, what's what? He went, oh, cut the... He was also retired Army, all right? So I said, well, I don't like the teacher, and the teacher doesn't like me, and my dad said, okay, that's over. He said, I don't care if you like him or not. You got to learn how to get along with him. He's the teacher. Sort it out. And then I said, okay. And then he looked at me and he said, now listen to me, son. He said, there ain't no blessing in being dumb. I'm going to say that to you again because some of you didn't get it. There ain't no blessing in being dumb. Right? Now, thank you. You're clapping, but I didn't get it. So he looked at me and he said, you'll never live in the kind of house you want to live in being dumb. You'll never drive the kind of car you want to drive being dumb. He said, you'll never marry the kind of woman you want to marry being dumb. Boy, there ain't no blessing in being dumb. Well, I took it to heart, and I fell in love with dictionaries and encyclopedias, and I'm a voracious reader. I'm constantly devouring things. I'm always trying to get stuff right. Ain't no blessing in being dumb. The more you know, the better your life's going to be. So here's the definition of the word recovery. If you're going to have recovery, you got to know what it is. Can I hear a good amen? So here we are. Here we go. It is the regaining of something lost or taken away. Doesn't that sound great? The regaining of something lost or taken away. It means restoration. It also means, listen to this, the return to health or a normal condition. For some of you, the recovery God wants to bring you is the restoration of your health. Amen. He continues, it means to obtain again what one has lost possession of. Listen, the process of regaining possession of your life. Charles Neiman translation of the word recovery, you get your life back. You get your life back. Some of you know what it is to feel like your life has spun out of control. God said, I want to give you your life back. Amen? In a breathtaking way. What an incredible, incredible promise. Now, let me expand this out for you. As I began to look at this, as I began to see this, and this came to me at a very, very difficult time in my life. Pastor referenced it earlier. My wife of 42 years had just passed away. Rochelle was diagnosed in May of 2012 with stage 4 ovarian cancer, and December the 30th of 2012, she went to heaven. We weren't ready for it. We weren't prepared for it. None of us were ready. It happened so quick, and she was here, and then she was gone. And I'd grown up with her. We met when we were 18. We were in college. We fell in love. I had to beat away all the other wolves that were sniffing around, which I was glad to do. It's just a fact, Jack. And that was another bit of wisdom my dad gave me. He said once to me, he said, it's going to take extra effort to marry a beautiful woman. He said, but it's worth it. He was right. So, she was gone. I went into a terrible time. I was diagnosed with PTSD. I couldn't sleep. I lost weight. I was... Yeah. And I still had a church. I still had kids that were hurting. I had a congregation that was hurting. I had friends that were hurting. And I was beginning to wonder if I would ever get back. You know, sometimes you take a body shot, and it doesn't knock you out, but it definitely knocks you down. And so I began to look at the Word of God, and I began to go to the Word of God, and I began to find that God wanted to bring me breathtaking recovery. Wildly extravagant. Setting everything right recovery into my life. Restoration. Does that make sense to you? So I began to look at it, and I went on a long journey, and I go into a lot more detail in the book there, but I'll give it to you in a summary. And one of the things I discovered was that about David and Ziklag. Now write this down, get this. It's going to help you a lot. David was in a city called Ziklag. He was hiding from Saul. He was there with the 600 men. They went off to help the Philistines in a fight, and while they were gone, the Amalekites came through Ziklag, and in one day, they burned all their houses, took all their possessions, took their wives and their children. So when David and his men came back, imagine that, right? They went off doing a good thing. They were doing a good thing, and sometimes lousy things happen to good people. Amen? Amen? Because there's a thief in the earth who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Let me make this statement to you. You will never experience breathtaking recovery as long as you believe that God sets out to harm people. Go home and read the Gospels, and you'll discover not one time, any time, did one person come to Jesus and their life got worse. Everybody's life got better. Everybody's life. And yours can get better too. So David and his men have this terrible day, right? They come back. The city's burned. Can you imagine, right? This is a lousy day, a lousy day. City's burned. All their possessions are gone. And worse yet, their wives and their children have been taken into slavery by the Amalekites. The Bible says that David and his men wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, I want you to imagine now that it's like they're on a path together, right? David and his men, they're walking together. all of this has happened behind them, and they're here and they weep together, the Bible says, till they had no more power to weep. I never understood that verse until it happened to me. I wept until I had no more power to weep. So then David, the Bible says, the next step they took on the path was the men with David became bitter and picked up stones to stone him. Weird thing about bitterness, right? Bitterness always causes you to blame the wrong people or the wrong thing. David was not the problem. The Amalekites were the problem. You know what? If you're going to get mad at somebody, don't get mad at the doctor. Don't get mad at your mama. Don't get mad at your daddy. Don't get mad at your neighbor. Get mad at the devil. I said, get mad at the devil. Amen? So, it says, they became bitter, but David. So the road split. David took another path. And it said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. All the other men could have done the same thing. They didn't. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, write this down, right? The word encouraged has two definitions. Number one, it means he fastened himself to the Lord. Clearly, what he did was he got closer to God. He did not allow what happened to drive a wedge between him and God. All right? He just didn't. He didn't go, why'd you let this happen? What are you trying to teach me? God wasn't trying to teach him anything. God didn't have anything to do with it. Stop it. Right? So he says, he fasted himself to the Lord. And then here's the second part. Write it down. He said, the word encouraged means he chose to be recovered. He's standing there with his house burning behind him, his wife taken into captivity, his friends about to stone him, and David goes, well, as for me, I'm over it. Right here, I am recovered. He imagined it before it happened. He saw it, right? He chose recovery. Come on. He chose recovery. I choose to be recovered. Then he prayed, and he said, shall I pursue and overtake them? And listen to what God said. You shall pursue, you shall overtake, get ready, and you shall recover everything that was lost. Amen? David was happy with revenge. God brought recovery. Amen? So he chose it. And then from there, I found this amazing verse in John 11. Everybody knows this, particularly at Easter, right? This is Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. And before he gets there, he tells Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. You ever heard that statement, right? I am the resurrection and the life. But what is fascinating is you look up the word resurrection, what Jesus said was, get ready, I am the stand-up and the recovery. 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 I'm saying that because I like to hear it. I am the stand-up and the recovery, right? So what that means is that even if life has knocked you down, Christ who is in you will stand up in you, and when he stands up, you'll get up too. Amen? And he will, when you stand up, he will bring you recovery. Our God is the God of recovery. He is the God of restoration. He doesn't want you to keep walking through life hurt. He wants to bring recovery. He wants you to recover, and not just kind of, breathtaking. Wildly extravagant. Amen. All right, now go with me to the book of Joel. Are you learning anything? Is this good? Right? Go with me to the book of Joel. I want to show you this as we wrap up, right? Going to be really good. In the book of Joel, we find a prophecy that Peter referred to in Acts, the second chapter, on the day of Pentecost. And he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Remember that? Some of you have heard it, right? Pastor Ting used the book of Acts on, I think, on Wednesday nights, right? So I'm sure you spent a lot of time there, okay? So here we are, right? This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, your young men this, your young women that, right? It's familiar verses. I've looked at that for years. And then later on, in the third chapter of the book of Acts, Peter said that in between the first coming and the second coming, that there's going to be something that this period of time is known for. And what it is, he said, is that everything that can be restored shall be. So this period that we're living in is a period where God is going to pour out restoration on his people, recovery on his people. This period of time, yeah, that we're living in now. Amen. This period of time we're living in now. Right? Let me give you this little nugget. You ready? Right? Have you ever heard that part in Luke 4 where the Bible says Jesus said that I've been sent to preach the acceptable year of the Lord? You ever heard that? Right? It's out of Isaiah chapter 61. Right? I've been sent to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The word acceptable there means I've been sent to let you know this is the most blessed time when the free favors of God will profusely abound. So you're living in the most blessed time. Right? When the free favors of God will profusely abound. Not just one here and then you got to wait 55 years. No, profusely abounding. Oh, it's good to be alive in between the first coming and the second coming. Right? So now here we go over to the book of Joel. So let's go back to the original prophecy. Let's see what else he was talking about, because Peter said this is that. Right? So let's go look at it. It actually begins in verse 23. We're going to go quick. He said, be glad then, you children of Zion. Now, whenever you read about Zion, you have to read it in context, because it can be talking about the church or it can be talking about Israel. We know here he's talking about the church because Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So we know that this is actually an Old Testament prophecy that became a New Testament promise on the day of Pentecost. So this belongs to us. He said, you children of Zion. We are the children of Zion. So he's speaking to us. Amen? And he continues on. He said, and rejoice in the Lord your God. Now I know again that it's the New Testament, because the word Lord there is the Hebrew word Yahweh, which is the Old Testament name for Redeemer, Deliverer, Savior. So it's actually Jesus speaking to us. Hallelujah. All right? And he says, he'll cause the rain to fall upon us. The word rain there can be literal rain or figurative. We know here it's figurative because it's a prophecy. And the word rain there means times of blessings and joy. So I'm going to pour out on my children, the children of Zion, the children of the church, I'm going to pour out times of blessings and joy. And he continues. All right? Let's go to verse 25 for the sake of time. And I will restore to you. And I will restore to you. What is the other definition of the word restore? Recovery. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Locusts in the Bible always represent a day, a time, or a season of destruction. A day, a time, or a season of destruction. I would say that this thing we've been going through with COVID has been a season of destruction. It's more than a day, more than a time, right? It's been a season of destruction. And it continues. But God says, everything that the locust stole, I'll restore it. Everything. You know, one of the things that I'm believing for restoration for right now is the attendance of people that come to our church in El Paso. Right now, our Sunday morning attendance, not counting online, is what we were running in 1986. 1986. Now, you got a choice, right? I've got a choice. I'm 71. I could look at my life and go, oh, this is horrible. This is terrible. You know, Oh, bless my heart. This isn't right. Go crawl over in my corner, get out my white flag. And you know what I'm going to get? Sympathy. But you know what sympathy gives you? It sucks the fight out of you. It does. I don't need sympathy. Come kick me in the butt and get me up off the floor and help me burn my white flag and start believing God for restoration. Amen. I said amen. All right. Oh, man, I got to finish. Here we go. Right? He said, I'll restore to you the years that the locust has stolen, the cankerworm, the caterpillar. What that all means is the varying stages of development of the locust, referring to God will bring restoration even if the destruction has just started, even if it's gone on a while, and even if it's just barely affecting. The word palmer worm means it affects your crop but doesn't destroy your crop. So that means your marriage isn't bad, but it's not as good as it used to be. Your health isn't bad, but it's not as good as it used to be. Your company's not bad, but it's not as good as it used to be. You got a locust. God said, why are you living with that? Believe me, and I'll bring restoration to you. Now, you got to see this, and then we're done, right? And he said, and the great army which was sent among you. The word army there means those strong for war. I got to point this out because this always affects a couple of people in the service. There are people that live on this planet that are strong for war. And what he means by that is their nature is they take no prisoners. They go through life and they don't count you as valuable or important. They will hurt you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? They will hurt you and they will not feel sorry for you when they hurt you. Some of you have encountered those people. You were raised by a parent like that. You had an ex, you had somebody, a teacher, a job, something, somebody that was strong for war. And God said, whatever damage they did, if you'll believe me, I'll bring restoration to your life. I'll bring recovery to your life. Amen. All right, now watch this and then we're done. You're going to love this. I promise you, you are. He said, and you that have been restored, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. I got to give you this. The term eat in plenty means you will lay claim to the space that you lost. You will lay claim to the space that you lost. You will lay claim. So God wants you to do this, right? He wants you to stand up in your life and go, you know what? I'm going to take that back. I lay claim to that. I lost that. We lost that. We're taking that back. I lost my joy. I'm taking that back. I lost my health. I'm taking that back. Thank you very much. I lost this relationship. I'm taking that back. I lost this money. I'm taking that back. I lost that. I'm taking that back. I lay claim to it. I lay claim to it. Amen? Amen. And then he says, and you'll be satisfied. Are you ready to shout? That word satisfies means you'll have too much. Huh? You'll have too much. I'm going to tell you this story and then we'll pray. Right? To me, this is kind of like ice cream on my cake. Right? So when I came through all of that darkness, you can't imagine, right? I mean, some of you can. I came through all that darkness. And I started believing all this. I started believing for this. And God began to restore me and bring things to me and happen to me, one thing and another. I was in Starbucks one day, and I was just waiting for my latte. You know what I'm saying? I'm not preaching. I'm not taking up an offering. I'm not doing anything. I'm just waiting for my drink, right? And there was a group. There was a table over here full of guys from my church. And to be honest with you, a couple of them were just barely saved. Okay, but they love me. So I'm standing there, and I said hi to them, and they were all talking. And I see a guy walking across the restaurant, and he does not have the I Love Charles Neiman face on. He got the other face on. right? And he comes walking across the room and he goes, just like this, loud. He goes, I know you. And I acted like, I wonder who he's talking to, right? And he goes, you're that Charles Neiman guy, aren't you? And I said, yeah. And I noticed the guys over here, my church guys, they're like scooting their chairs back. And I'm like, be careful, buddy. Be careful. Because when these boys get done with you, even dental records will not identify you, okay? I know these boys, right? And so he walks over to me, he goes, you're the pastor of that big mega church, aren't you? And I said, yeah. And he goes, you have too much. And I took my drink, and I walked out to my car, and I put my hands up, and I said, God, look at you. Even my enemies can see your restoration in my life. Stand to your feet, please. If he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. Can I pray for you as pastor comes? Lift your hands towards heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every one of these people. I thank you for this opportunity to come and share what to me is one of the greatest revelations of my life. And I believe with them today for breathtaking recovery. Breathtaking recovery. Wildly extravagant recovery. The grand setting of everything right back into their lives. That they're going to get their lives back. In Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed shouted, amen. Amen. Love you all. Thank you.